This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Ruler podcast. I'm Ian Parkinson, and for once, I'm not in the studio in London. I'm in Mallorca and on a bike. I'm heading out to the lighthouse at Formentor from Alcudia. That's a strip of tarmac which will be familiar to hundreds, probably thousands of cyclists, British and others, who come here at this time of year to escape the northern European winter. But I'm doing it slightly better because I'm riding with the number one ranked women's team in the world, Wiggle High Five. And with me is multiple Swedish national champion and Wiggle High Five rider, one of the most experienced riders in the women's peloton, Emma Johansson. Emma, welcome to the Ruler podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us first of all a little bit about your role within the team, because it's changed, isn't it? You're not actually riding this year.
Exactly, that's correct. Like, I'm still with the team. I have a chance to ride, do races if I want to, but I'm here now more as a mentor for the girls.
So is that your sort of official role, being a mentor, a sort of senior rider and advising the girls?
Yeah, it's definitely new to me. It's new for all the women's team, I think. It's not many that has a former rider that still stays around to be there for the others.
And what's the value of it, do you think? What sort of things can you help the younger members of the team with?
Obviously, I do have a lot of experience. I've been around for so many years. I've taken all the steps that everyone is taking. I've been young and unexperienced, going into having my first year as a pro. We have those in the team. We also have girls who are leaving their home for the first time. So it's nice for me to be able to be there for them. And because I can feel with them. I know what they are going through. And just to be there to support them in their journey towards becoming as good as they can be.
The weather here in Mallorca is beautiful today. Clear sky, a bit of wind, but absolutely splendid. Of course, this time of year, normally, you would probably be in Belgium in considerably worse weather and preparing for the Tour of Flanders.
Yeah, that's true. It's very, very different.
The Tour of Flanders was very much your race, wasn't it? I mean, you came agonisingly close to winning it last year, but you always performed well in that race.
Yeah, it was so close last year, and I'm super proud of the way we rode as a team and how close it was. It could have tipped one or another way. Now, like, the silver place seemed to be my lottery in life. Just the way we rode, I'm just super proud about that, and being so close on the race that I love the most, like racing on my front door. Like, I literally live in the middle of the course and have a lot of supporters there, and for me it was around that area where everything started.
Why do you love the Tour of Flanders so much? Why did it mean so much to you?
It's difficult to explain. I think it's something about Belgium, it's something about the people, it's something about the not only the race itself, but the weeks beforehand, just how everything is breathing cycling. It's like the whole Belgium is breathing cobbles. And unless you go there, you would never understand what I'm talking about.
How are you going to feel, do you think, when the other girls in the team get ready for Flanders this year and you're there but not actually riding?
I am a bit nervous about how I am going to feel. I was nervous before at Nieuwsblad because that was sort of my first experience as a... my first experience from standing on the side when everyone is racing, but just the fact that I'm a part of the preparation, that I can be there, I'm going to be on the course, I'm supporting the girls, still makes me feel, even though I'm not racing with them, I still feel a part of it. And I think that just, like, I was nervous that I wasn't going to care, that it wasn't going to be important for me anymore. But in one way, it's like actually more important. Like, I've never been so excited as I was watching the girls race on Het Nieuwsblad. And I wasn't there in Strade, but I follow it from home. And oh God, I was sitting on the top of my sofa the whole time, just trying to get the result out, you know? And yeah, it's something about stepping down that makes it more interested about others racing.
It's an interesting time in women's bike racing. There have been some sort of cancellations of races, but generally this season is looking pretty positive, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's very growing. It's taking a step every year. It's growing. Okay, we have unfortunately some races that can't continue for one or another reason, but in general the women's peloton is definitely growing. It's becoming, the teams are becoming more professional. The width is more girls that can win races. The team are racing more professional together. And I think I definitely have seen and been a part of the biggest changes, but it's still, yeah, I know that this is not it. It's still growing and it's a pity knowing that I'm not going to be there when it reaches the top. But then probably I would have to ride for so many more years and I couldn't do that.
Okay, we're going to be hearing more from other riders on the team and from the owner and director, Rochelle Gilmore, later in the podcast. Emma Johansson, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I'm now off the bike. I survived the ride out to the lighthouse with a protein, thanks largely to Emma's mentoring of me up some of the hills. And I'm now with Rochelle Gilmore, the owner and director of Wiggle High Five. Rochelle, we were talking a little bit there with Emma about, I guess, what you call the duty of care, the sort of pastoral care involved in running a team full of young women, some of whom are away from home for the first time or, you know, a long way from home. Is that something that's very important to you in running a team like this?
Well, absolutely. And I think I've only just realised now, having Emma Johansson move into that role, how instrumental it will be for the younger riders that are on the team. My reasoning for continuing Emma on contract is because I think it's really important to support the retirement of athletes and not just, you know, leave them at home. They've given so much to the sport, and I think it's really important to continue supporting the athletes through the transition of retirement as well. So we've got a few of the older athletes coming up for retirement, and they've got so much experience to offer these younger athletes, and they're also a sounding board and a communication for athletes to go to staff, but not really directly. You know, people open up to their peers and a lot more easily than they do to their boss. So to have Emma Johansson there for the younger riders, especially now we have Grace Garner, Amy Roberts is still very young in many ways, Lucy Garner as well, to have Emma there just for them to talk to. And Emma is absolutely fantastic. She has so much experience. She's a rider that's been at the top level for 10 years. So she's got so much to offer these and just support, and she really is nurturing, so it's great.
So if Emma moves on to do other things, do you think that's a role that you'll try to continue with the team?
Absolutely. Like we have Georgia Bronzini, like I said, coming up for retirement, and she's also very much like Emma Johansson. She's just very caring and concerned about the well-being of the athletes, and at Wiggle High Five our philosophy is purely based on quality of life. That's what we want to offer above all. So, you know, winning's not at the top of the list for the staff and for the riders, it's quality of life. And these riders that have so much experience, it's just a wonderful thing, like Emma has said, that her experience from the start of the year till now in that mentoring role is giving her so much satisfaction. She said when she was an athlete that she was more, you know, all about herself. And now that she's able to share her experiences with the younger athletes, she's getting a lot of satisfaction out of it. And it's making a huge difference to just the atmosphere in our team and the athletes knowing they've got somebody there that they can rely on that's, you know, not their boss. And I think it's fantastic.
When you look across the sport, which is, you know, growing year on year, do you worry about the experiences of some of the younger riders who are coming into the sport, some of the things they may have to put up with?
No, I don't worry about what they may have to put up with, because I can only control what I can control. And like I said, my biggest ambition is to have happy athletes, happy staff, and ensure that I'm doing everything possible to give them the environment. And that doesn't just mean the material things or the race program or things like that. It means the care from the staff and from the fellow athletes, and that they are, when they're at work, which is at a race, cycling, at media camp, training camp, that they're enjoying it and they like the people that they're around and they feel comfortable.
This has all obviously been highlighted recently by what's happened to British Cycling, the issues with Jess Varnish and others with Shane Sutton. What's your take on that?
Well, I guess the reason that we may see this kind of thing happening is because their success is measured on medals and results, and everything is based around trying to get results. With my team and my reasoning for being in the sport, and obviously the staff that support me, is purely to get the best out of the athletes, but not only results-wise. You know, experience in life, enjoyment in life, relationships, learning how to communicate with people, negotiate, you know, everything in our team is about making a decision together. It's not a dictatorship, it's not control, it's just let's have everyone feel like they can give an opinion. And as we've heard, there's a culture of fear in other teams or federation situations, but that's something that I would hope would never happen in Wiggle High Five. Obviously, I need to make hard decisions sometimes, but I want the athletes and the staff to feel like they can come to me. We can argue, we can debate for, you know, an hour, but I don't want them to ever be, the athletes or the staff, to ever be scared to voice their opinion.
But there are people who say, you know, this is high-level sport. It's all about winning, and you know, you have to be tough, and if you're not tough enough, then leave the sport.
Well, look, if someone's not tough enough, they're not going to make it, but that doesn't mean that you need to make it even more tough for them. I mean, results, ultimately, yeah, we're in sport for results, but my strong belief is that results come from providing athletes and supporting them, and that's a delicate thing. I can't really see any situation where wording or tone of voice or criticism can really get the best out of an athlete. So I don't think there's necessarily any need for that. My philosophy is to encourage the riders rather than tell them what they're doing wrong, give them some advice, and that's where Emmy Johansson comes in, about how to be better.
What's your take on the season ahead in women's pro cycling? There have been some very positive moves, a couple of, you know, negative things as well. But overall, do you think the sport is looking pretty healthy this year?
I can tell you I'm super excited about this season's racing, because a lot of the big talented riders have been split up over different teams. And this just means that instead of going into a race thinking that Bowls or Rubber or Wiggle High Five are going to win this race, there's three teams that might be able to win, there's actually like 10 or 15 teams that have potential winners in their team. So it's great to see that the sport, it is developing, because now the depth in teams are having obviously more finances to buy those lead riders. And what we see now is so many teams that have either sprinters or climbers winners, basically, that's going to make the racing so much more exciting.
So you'll be able to go to the start of a race and not be sure who's going to win.
Absolutely. I mean, we had that era of Marianne Vos where we knew she wanted to win a race. No matter what, she'd be so hard to beat. Then we had Lizzie Armitstead. She could win every day of the week. And now we just have a situation where a rider can't just be strong by themselves. They need a strong team. And we see a lot of strong teams this year. So there's so many different riders or teams that can win bike races this year that nothing is predictable.
The course this year is 60 kilometres up the Izoard, or ending up the Izoard. And a lot of riders have seen that as a backward step. 60 kilometres, they would say, is not a proper race for women at that level. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I wouldn't say that it's not a proper race, but I do think it's a step backwards that we're not racing on the Champs-Élysées, because that opportunity to take that away from us after having that for the last 3 years, and obviously Wiggle High Five won that race last year, and in terms of return on investment for sponsors and finances coming into the sport, I think that one race on the Champs-Élysées would give a higher number of return than all the other races put together. It was an opportunity for women's cycling to really, really develop, and I think taking it away is a little bit of a step backwards for our sport. It has done a lot for our sport, but it's very unfortunate that we couldn't have some races in the mountains and the Alps and still have that race. That's the disappointing thing for me, is that the athletes don't have that opportunity to race on the Champs-Élysées, and the fans and viewers can't really relate so much to many races, but the last day of the Tour de France on the Champs-Élysées is something that everybody knows what all that's about, and it was for us it was a great opportunity for women's cycling.
But overall optimistic about the current situation?
Well, yeah, because the races that we have on the calendar this year that are new kind of make up for losing that one race. We have Amstel Gold Race, we have Liège Bastogne Liège, and we have all the Tour of Britain, we have Yorkshire, Ride London, California, we have a lot of Tour of Flanders Flesh, we have a lot of really big classic type races, and that's important for our sport. So whilst we did lose one that was a major loss, we have gained quite a few races in the last couple of years, so the calendar looks strong and the sport is going in the right direction, because race organisers are obviously identifying that women's racing is exciting, and they've been holding men's races for years and years and years, and now they've decided to put women's racing on as well.
Rochelle Gilmore, thanks for joining us. We'll hear now from some other of your riders. So I'm joined by the three British riders on the squad, Lucy Garner, Grace Garner and Amy Roberts. Lucy, first of all, this is your second year with the team, but what, your fourth or fifth year as a professional?
Yeah, it will be my fifth year, actually. Yeah, I feel really old now thinking that. No, but yeah, it's my fifth year already, so
You are still very young, though.
I'm 22, so I am pretty young still, and I hope I've got a few more years in me to go. But no, I've raced a lot, and I've done a lot of, done a lot of races, so yes.
How's it going so far this year?
It's going well. Like, I've only had a couple of races so far, but I've trained hard over the winter. These sort of classics races for me are just getting me ready for sort of mid-season, because that's when I want to be more on form and where the races suit me a little better. But no, it's been good, just helping the riders like Elisa and Yolene, who want to, peak for these early classics, so it's been good.
Last year you were second in the Tour of Yorkshire. Presumably this year you're hoping for one step up the podium.
Well, yeah, it would be great to win it, but I actually did the reckon a couple of weeks back, and it's extremely tough. It's a lot different to last year, so it would be great to start there. I'd love to, be on the start list there again. But I think the type of course this year is going to be more for, Elisa, actually. It's tough. There's a lot of climbing involved, and there could be quite a lot of wind as well. But no, I want to. It would be nice to be racing back there.
And the Tour of Britain as well, hopefully, the women's tour.
Yeah. I had to miss that last year because I'd broken some ribs. So that was, a bit unlucky. But no, it'd be great to, get back there. And obviously, it's going to be, you know, even bigger this year with finishing in London. So I'm expecting it to be sort of a huge event on the calendar.
Every rider I speak to talks very sort of fondly of racing in Britain, in particular probably the non-British riders, actually. It's something about the crowds, it's something about the enthusiasm. What's it actually like riding either Yorkshire or the Women's Tour?
It is, you know, it makes it really special, actually, because those races, especially the Women's Tour, it's just there for the women. So we know that everyone out on the roads are coming just for us and to support us. And the amount of crowds that we get out on the roads is just, you know, incredible. And, yeah, I say this, but not just because I'm from the UK, but I really think that the UK are leading the way in women's cycling and putting on some really great organised events. So, you know, it'd be great to have, you know, even more in the future.
You've got your younger sister with you on the team this year. Did you encourage her to join the team?
Yeah, I'd say a bit, yeah. You know, I really like being on Wiggle, and I think, you know, Grace can learn a lot from the older riders, and she's a sprinter, so she's got a lot of girls to sort of look up to on the team, like Georgia and Yolene, and yeah, it will be a great sort of season for Grace to get stuck in. And yeah, she's a really good sprinter herself, so definitely in the future she'll be there tackling the finishers.
Grace, this is your first season, I guess, at like the really highest level of international women's racing. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been a great start to the season, actually. Last year I did a few of the UCI races, but this year is my first proper full season as a full professional athlete. So yeah, it was amazing to kickstart the season off at the Women's Tour Down Under. So yeah, it was really good.
What are your sort of big targets this year? What do you think are the races that you really hope you can might make a bit of an impact in?
I'm just sort of taking every opportunity that I'm being given. I wasn't expecting to be on the start list for any Women's World Tours, and already I was at the start at Drenthe, so I was really, really pleased with that. And yeah, I hope I can take the start at maybe China Women's World Tour, and yeah, just sort of use every opportunity I can to do my best.
Drenthe looked pretty tough from what I saw of it. How was it?
Yeah, it was really tough, actually. But from hearing from the other girls, it wasn't as tough as previous years because the wind was dropped a little bit, so it was pretty steady for the first... Yeah, it was quite settled before the attack started to come in and before the cobble sections. But yeah, it was good, actually. I really enjoyed it.
What's it like racing on the team with your big sister?
Good, really nice. You've always got like the comfort of a family member being around. So yeah, I love it.
Amy Roberts, you as well are relatively young, but also pretty experienced. Your fifth year with Wiggle. Last season wasn't a great season, though, for you, was it?
Well, it started off okay. And then, yeah, I had quite a bit of illness and stuff. And, yeah, it didn't end too well. So I was happy to see the end of it and have good winter's training and get into this season now.
How was it going over the winter? How was your training?
Yeah, it was good. I had a nice break and then got some good miles in and then went to Australia for the early season race. And yeah, I like doing that because it sort of gets the season started and has some good training but also good racing in there.
What are the changes this year in women's racing and on the women's scene? Because a lot of the people are saying it's a lot more open and probably a bit more competitive than it has been for several years.
Yeah, I think we've definitely seen a change in the last few years. There's a lot more competition and everyone's like at a higher level, which is really good. And women's cycling is growing, you know, in a lot of ways. So hopefully it can keep going that way. And yeah, we keep seeing improvements.
So our final Wiggle High Five rider for this podcast is Nettie Edmondson. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
You're one of the riders who combines road with a real focus on track as well. How's that been going for you?
It's been okay so far. I definitely like variation, and so that's really, it's worked for me having both the road and the track in my program. But I'm also very thankful to have the support of the Australian Institute of Sport and also my Wiggle High Five road team, because without their support it wouldn't be possible, and I know a lot of other people might actually be interested in doing the same thing, but some of the teams just want specifically want road or track. So yeah, I'm very thankful to them for making it work.
How's the season been going so far?
Most years I do both the track and the road, but this year I've decided just to focus on the road. I had, 5 years of track worlds and track intensity, so after the intensity of the track last year with the Olympic program, I've decided to focus for the first time fully on the road, and really enjoying it, and it's really nice to be back with the Wiggle Half Five squad.
So what are your big targets for this year then?
We've got the China World Cup, that's a bit more suited to me, nice and flat with a power sprint at the end. I'd like to race the Giro, I've never done that before, so in Italy the 10-day stage race would be amazing.
But it's not very flat though.
There are a lot of mountainous stages, yes, but I've heard that they do form a peloton, so I'd like to be part of that rather than being out the back. But no, there's definitely some sprint stages, so I'll have a crack at those. But I think the main goal for me is the Team Time Trial World Championships with Wiggle High Five, and then also the road race, because I've never actually lined up in the road race at the World Championships.
You've been in women's racing, both track and road, for a good few years now. What's your sort of feeling about the current state of women's cycling and women's sport?
It's still got a long way to go, but it is definitely headed in the right direction. And I think that's thanks to a lot of high-profile women like Marianne Vos, Lizzie Armistead, people like that who are putting up their hands and really trying to make a change. And like the UCI are taking a step forward, and they've included a lot of women's races at the international level. Like, we've now got a Madison for women at the Track Worlds. We've got a Team Pursuit for women at the Commonwealth Games. So, it's really, really exciting to see that we are headed in that direction.
Nettie, thank you for joining us. Thanks to Rochelle and the team for inviting us to join them. Let's hope women's cycling does continue to thrive in 2017, and we'll certainly be reporting on it more and more. Thanks for listening. Catch up next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.